You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the New Churches Podcast. Sometimes I want to say this, that's your church leaders podcast because they have another podcast. So forgive me for that. But again, it's the New Churches Podcast. By the way, we don't tell you what the episodes are, but just so you know, this is like the 750th episode. So we got a lot of episodes. So make sure you can always scroll back, you know, and listen to the ones in the past as well. And all of our resources are at newchurches.com. So today we're going to talk about sending churches. This is it's kind of a fascinating, important topic about how do we actually plant churches out of churches? I mean, that's ultimately what we want. So back in the day, I was a church planting professor like years ago, and I had an intro to church planting class and I had an advanced church planting class. And in the advanced church planting class, we had the assignment that the students were going to research. One of the things they did wasn't the only assignment, but was to research the relationship between I think we called them mother churches and daughter churches. People use different things, different times, different denominations. And here's what we found. About 70%. Now, again, don't like quote, you know, people like, I'm saying about 70%, but I end up like Ed Stetzer says that 72.7%. Don't do that. But about 70% in this one class of the churches that we studied had a broken or impaired relationship with the church that sent them out. So it's fascinating to see that this is sometimes a complex relationship, but we want more, not less of that. So we actually have today the opportunity to talk to a couple of guests, one of whom was the sending church and one of whom was the church that was sent, the pastors of those churches. So Tony Morita is the pastor for Preaching and Vision at Imago Dei Church, serves as the dean of Grimke Seminary, director of theological training for Acts 29, written 15 books, including Christ-Centered Expositor. If you listen to a prior episode, we talked to him about preaching, real heart and passion as well. Adam Mutaseb grew up in a Muslim family, converted to Christianity as a teenager. Now he's got a real vision and passion for church planting. He planted Redemption City Church in the city of Baltimore and actually was planted out of Imago Dei Church. So we actually have some relationships here that I think are going to be important to discussion. So Tony, let's start with you. You work to raise up and send out church planters. Our other guests we're going to get to in a minute is one of the planters you sent out. Do you see the church planting work that you do at Imago Dei as a way of building up that family of church planters? How does the ongoing role of church planting work for you?
Yeah, it's been a joy, man. We've sent out a number of teams. Church planting is something that our people regularly hear about. It's dripped from the pulpit in sermons. It's in our announcements. It's part of our pastoral prayer time. And then we try to do regular check-ins with our church planters, make regular visits, preach at their churches, those kinds of things. And so Adam has been, he's like my little brother. When we watched him just learn, grow, develop here at IDC, and was already gifted when he came here, but really just now serve as his number one encourager and regularly checking in, seeing how they're doing, seeing what we can do for them. So, yeah.
Okay. So you, and of course, one of the patterns that you've tried to create is to be a sending church. And, you know, this goes back for decades. It's not the seating capacity of your church, but the sending capacity of your church. And that's all great. But it seems that a lot of times churches can't, my observation, a lot of times churches can't maintain a passion for church planting over the long term. They might get excited about one or two, but you've been doing this for a while. I mean, not decades, but for years. How have you maintained that as a value when it could be counterintuitive to send people out of your church?
Yeah, it is for a lot of people. New church transfers that come in, maybe a lot of times they've come in from a background where a church that they've been part of had never planted a church before. And so we try to, one, hit it from the pulpit a lot, but then in membership process, you know, that's just part of who we are. We have kind of our global mission plan. We just borrowed and riffed off Rick Warren, the peace plan, and the P is plant churches. And so it's something that they hear all the time. And so we're 11 and a half years old, and we're continuing to have this emphasis. We just sent out two local church plants within the last 2 years, one in Southeast Raleigh and one around NC State. And that's also a plan of ours. Instead of kind of a multi-site desire is to plant churches in the various pockets of as we call the triangle here in Raleigh-Durham.
Okay, so Adam, you are a beneficiary of that partnership. So talk to me a little bit about that. How about at Redemption City? You were planted. How does it look like for you to be planting? What does all that look like?
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to how do you feel like your church can have the biggest impact over the long haul? And I really think you can have more of an impact being a mother church than you can being a mega church. If you send
see, this is why Adam can preach. He's got the alliteration gene going on there. I like it. Okay. But I do believe that. I believe that. That's great. I mean, statistically, we can show that. Keep going.
Yeah. I mean, well, when you create a mega church, it tends to be come and see my gifts. And a few people, or a good amount of people, help with the lights and the sound and the hospitality, et cetera. But when you pass this vision of we want to be a church planting movement that's planting churches all over our region around the world, and we want you to put your yes on the table and let God put it on the map, where is God calling you to be on mission? It tends to create this culture in your church where we're all in to see the gospel change our society. There's no sidelines anymore. And so Clint Clifton used to tell me at some point, I want every member of my church to be asking God, do you want me to be a part of a church plant? Everyone should be asking that question. And when you create this culture of we're a sending church, kind of like the church in Antioch, just sending people, your people end up being a missionary force.
It's good. It's good. By the way, when Adam mentions Clint was our kind of ran the New Church podcast, helped foster a church planting movement focusing around Marine bases. Just fascinating brother. And if you listen back, you recognize the name. He died in a plane crash, and we miss him deeply, and so appreciate his impact on all of our lives. Give me some more. As the kids say, give me some more deets, Adam. So like when time wise. Did you start this? Because Tony's already mentioned his church is a decade plus old. They're still engaged and involved with it. How soon after your church being planted did you begin? I'll give an example. We did last church plant, but how soon after being planted did you start talking about church planting, actually be engaged in church planting? Give us some details.
Before we launched, okay. The day we planted. We're 5 years in. We've sent out our first wave. We sent out one to Japan and one to Towson, Maryland. And we're in the second wave preparing a new set of church planters now, a new team. But one thing I learned from Imago Dei is they have a system or a pipeline or a process to develop future church planters, missionaries, pastors that they're doing where they meet like every Saturday morning, every other week, and we go through resources, have a discussion, write papers. Mark Dever does a similar thing on Capitol Hill Baptist Church. Village Church has like the Village Institute. A lot of these, sending type churches have these systems or programs where they're developing leaders. And then creating this expectation of you're either going to stay and help lead us here or go and plant somewhere else as a team. And so I saw that in Imago Dei, and then we just replicated that, made my own version. We call it RCC Institute. And everyone who is in Institute is either leading in our church now or was a part of a church planting team that was sent. And that started day one.
Yeah, and it's important distinction to make there too is a lot of times, and it's true that churches that send a lot of church planters are disproportionately near educational institutions. So that's been, you see churches in Dallas who send a lot of church planters because they happen to be drawn from that. I'm incoming dean at Biola. We've got churches near that. And that's good. We want more, not less of that. So, but don't discount that people in different areas are doing this. You mentioned Baltimore, you mentioned Washington, D.C. So there's a lot of church planters that are coming out of Raleigh-Durham because of some seminary influence that's there. But there's also opportunities to do this in all different kinds of places. But Tony, he mentioned your institute, your pipe. Not, I think you used the word pipeline. Talk to us about your church planter pipeline that's there, and how you encourage the ones you send out in that pipeline to create pipelines in their setting as well. So two part question: your pipeline, and then how you encourage others to set up pipelines.
Yeah, so we have a thing called Aspire, and that's for guys who are desiring to go into ministry and ladies. We just meet with them, as Adam said. Usually it's about 3 hours a week. I don't do all of that teaching anymore. I did when Adam was here. But we go through basic stuff from church administration to preaching to, you know, missiology, et cetera. And then they're writing, as Adam said, some little short papers. I call them back pocket papers. They're like 3 pages on an issue that they're going to have to deal with immediately in a church. So a short position paper on marriage, on, you know, spiritual gifts, you know, worship, philosophy, et cetera. So really trying to train them for immediate action in the local church. And then I usually pull out of that group 2 or 3 guys that I'll spend a lot of time with. So Adam was one of those guys. He traveled with me all over, just tried to spend a lot of time with him and really invest in him. Because not everyone in Aspire is going to be planting a church. So I tend to look for the guys who want to plant and then just really try to mentor them along the way. And then, yeah, I think they see the impact of it at Imago Dei and they just naturally want to replicate it in their own setting. And so for us, what that it meant early on was we're going to do this every week, just like we would have a staff meeting. We're going to have kind of this Aspire group meeting. And I learned from my previous pastorates that if I didn't build it in to the schedule, it would just fizzle out in due time. But we had to make it a priority and make it a weekly matter on the calendar.
Tony and I both started doing this, and then we passed it off to another leader, and now we don't lead it anymore, but it's still churning. It's still happening. So if you can just set the DNA at the beginning, train up a leader to lead and teach it, you have that system going without you having to be there every time.
Yeah. And if you guys, I mean, I know it's unusual, but I want to ask the size of your churches because I want people to get a feel for that. And again, for those listening, it's not a statement of value or anything of that sort. So Tony, what is your weekend worship attendance?
About 1,200.
Okay. So about 1,200 people. So you have somebody who's working this pipeline. You have, you've been able to engage in some in a seminary community, but also beyond that as well. Yep. Adam, you're 5 years old. What's the attendance of your church?
Yesterday, Sunday, was 307.
Okay. So so I would think that people might naturally be inclined to say, I could see how Imago Dei could do this. I mean, they put resources. I mean, it's an investment. It's a sacrifice. But how does a church of 300 do this? What does that look like?
Well, like we said earlier, when I set aside time in my calendar to gather with folks at Institute every other week for 3 hours, they would come prepared having read the content, written a paper, and we would discuss it. And so I have set aside time in my calendar for preaching, for shepherding meetings, for personal devotion, but also leadership development. So I think every church planter should have at least, you know, 5-10% of their time developed to Ephesians 4, equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry. It's kind of our job. It's not to do ministry, it's to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And so if you can have some sort of system, it could be 3 guys or 2 guys at a coffee shop reading a ecclesiology book or a preaching book. You can do this. So that's how we started, and it's grown from there. Now we have 25 students who have been with us each semester. We've had multiple graduates, and so we're churning out leaders now.
Yeah, and so as you churn out leaders, you know, again, our church, the last church plant, I'm 7 years out from the last church I planted, and we planted some churches out of that church, and we just called it the pastoral apprentice team. So our pipeline was small because I was full time at Lifeway. I was a volunteer, unpaid volunteer, senior pastor, and so I would just meet and I'd prepare a sermon with some of these leaders whatever else it might be. So some of that is, Tony, you just mentioned how you're casually in relationship, you know, traveled with Adam and more. So these ideas, there are ways to interact on an ongoing basis that then lead to just learning by seeing. Elmer Towns, he's written like 147 books, Man Has No Unpublished Thought. But he talked about one of the books about the hot poker philosophy. When you're around, you know, the coals in the charcoal, it's hot just by nature of being near each other. You take it out, you bring that with it. And so you get sent out, you take that enthusiasm for church planting with you. So practically speaking, between the two of you, you know, you were at first, you came out of that Imago Dei pipeline. What's your interaction like now? Tony, first to you.
Yeah, so weekly, semi-weekly, I'll text Adam, just how's it going? How was the week? this morning. I asked him if he wanted to go to Turkey with me this week.
Yeah, you did.
It's a short notice, but I would love to take him with me.
I want to know, did he say yes to the Turkey trip or no?
He did not say yes.
Okay, no. Good. Because you'd like to stay happily married and not just disappear. Yes. Like, oh.
I was honored, though.
Yeah. So he's preaching for me in the fall. I'm preaching for him in the summer. So we try to do that sort of thing. I think I've preached up there almost every year. And then we have some retreats and events here at Imago Dei where we bring all of our people back and try to build them up in the faith. And so we see each other at other church planting events and spend, you know, time with each other. And so, yeah, there's a lot of interaction, and a lot of it's just built on the fact that we really like each other. Yeah. And the relationship is not forced. It's just very natural. We genuinely want to know how each other's doing, and we generally want to hang out with each other. So that's been a really special relationship.
Do you have any relationship organizationally or, you know, in sometimes in African-American church communities, talk about like a covering pastor or sometimes that's in a Pentecostal tradition as well. Do you with the elders, do you have any relationship with the elders and others at Redemption City Church?
Well, I don't have so much with the elders there, but Adam does with the elders here. So there's a regular check-in on the calendar. I'm usually not part of that meeting, but it's the guys around the table checking in.
Tell me more about that, though. Why would Adam check in with the elders at Imago Dei?
So, and it's not just him. Sometimes he's got the second Adam. There's two Adams, the first and second Adam.
Well done.
They join, and that's more practical questions. Sometimes it may be questions related to finances or, you know, staffing, those kinds of logistical, practical questions. Those guys don't have the relationship that I have with Adam, where we can just organically, you know, hang with each other and talk to each other. They like to schedule it and so that they can spend time and invest. And they usually can answer the questions in that category way better than I can.
Yeah, anyway. But it's important to note that when we're talking about your elders, we're not talking about, say, a lay elder who's a manager at the local Costco, but we're talking about people. You're probably having learning conversations about people who are engaged in similar things. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's helpful. So, all right. So Adam, to you, you know, what ongoing expectations are there ongoing expectations between you and Imago Dei after how many years in are you?
Five.
Okay. So are there any ongoing expectations, relationship, anything like that?
That I wouldn't, you know, cheat on my wife.
And yeah, that would be good. That's a plus. And appreciate that being, I would hope there are others though. Is that the only expectation?
No, preach the gospel. Have
but
a church.
Are they holding you accountable? Now.
So they planted us as an autonomous church, and okay. I meet with them once a month. They're elders.
Huh.
Just because I love Imago Dei Church and I want to plant a church like it. So I asked them questions like, hey, when you guys were 300 and you had these challenges, how did you deal with those? And just to encourage them too.
Like, oh, it's a fraternal, you know, it's a friendship relationship. They don't have any authority, but it sounds like they do have some level of accountability with you. Again, I mentioned sometimes in the Black church tradition, there's a spiritual covering that they're providing in some way for you. I don't want to make it an ecclesiological covering, but there's a relational connection.
Well, when we first started, like when we were just about to launch, I submitted the entire church, my life, to the elders. If they told me to do something,
of Imago Dei.
Yeah, specifically Tony, especially just because of the influence he had in my life. They said if they would say jump, I would say how high.
Yeah, just so everyone's
but
clear.
But here we are,
in this tradition, Tony is an elder in this church. The elders member is not a separate governing board that sort of oversees the staff. So just so everyone understands the context here. So then you've kind of said, speak into my life, hold me accountable, those kinds of things.
Yes. Tony is one of the pastors. There's probably like 10, 15, maybe 20 pastors in Imago Dei. And there's a few vocational pastors in Imago Dei who really like take key leadership over the church. And those, you know, four or five staff vocational pastors had significant influence, but Tony especially at the beginning, to the point where I almost planted in Washington, D.C. because Tony was encouraging me like, hey, I really think this would be good for you. And I was like, okay, let me explore that. And then we ended up saying, I think Baltimore's a good choice. And he supported me in that. And then along the way, I would just regularly check in with the elders or pastors in Imago Dei, specifically, especially with Tony, and ask questions. And he would come visit. I would go visit them. We just kept a very good, friendly relationship, big brother type relationship.
Love it. So talk to me a little bit about the two or three things that Tony or Imago Dei have done for you and the church that have been most helpful as them being your sending church.
First, I'll just say financially, they gave us $30,000, I believe it was. So that was significant. It was like $12,000 the first year, $10,000 the second year, $8,000 the third year. I mean, that's just super generous. That was one thing. Second thing is they're healthy people with a healthy church, and then they invited me in. That was Tony has really worked on himself over the last 20 years. It's just he's a man who loves Jesus, who knows his Bible. And just to be around a guy like that is a blessing. So he would invite me over at his house to hang out with him and his kids. He would bring me with him on work trips. They would let me sit in on staff meetings and elder meetings, pastor meetings. They gave me full access to the church, and they were healthy and they led a healthy church. And just being around that by osmosis, I just took so much. And it helped me plant a healthy church just being around them.
Love it. Tony, when you think about how you have engaged in this church planting process, this sending church process, what are things that you're trying to do to make certain that that church planter or that church planter team experiences from you and from Imago Dei?
Well, we want to help them theologically. We want to help them think through ecclesiology, think through contextualization, those kinds of things. We want to care for their soul to make sure they're ministering out of spiritual health and not merely out of gifting or hard work, but out of health. And so we're looking at that. You know, we want to be a good sounding board for them as they're processing things, asking questions. So just being available to them. And we want to encourage the heck out of them. I encourage our guys to, in the sense of, hey man, it's okay to fail. Just go. Just, we believe in you. We think you've got good content. You've got a good team. Now go. And I think a lot of guys are paralyzed by fear. And Adam went into a hard place in Baltimore. I mean, he sees dead bodies around his apartment and drug deal going on all the time, that kind of thing. That's where he's at. He is in a place where church plants do not survive. And so I wanted to be his number one cheerleader.
Love it. Love it. We're going to wrap up our episode, but let me just say that having done a lot of research into this, you know, I mentioned that class at the beginning. One of the reasons that there were broken relationships that were there, the overwhelming reason was there was a lack of clear expectations that the mother church and the daughter church, which is language we use more at that time, that sometimes the daughter church basically was kind of a loose attachment to the mother church. It was like, I need a sponsor church because that's my denomination requires me to have a sponsor church. And there were differences in theology. There were differences in methodology. There wasn't a relationship. The best kind of sending is sending from a context that has a similar passion for church planting. So church planting churches become church planting churches. So you hear here in this conversation, Adam kind of doing what he has seen done at Imago Dei now at Redemption City. So let me just encourage you to find partners that share the value, are going to walk through, they're going to be in this community together. And I love the fact that you guys still have this ongoing relationship as well. Hey, everybody, thanks for listening to the New Churches podcast. As always, we want to encourage you in your church planning journey. Go to newchurches.com. All resources there free and for you. God bless. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the New Churches podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.